It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Great to have you with us this morning. Gather Round kicks off tonight over in Adelaide Ovals. Is it 7:30 bounce down? I think it is. The Demons take on the Crows, and one of the all-timers of the Melbourne Footy Club has joined us in the studio. A very busy work schedule. I'm not sure how he swung this. Rod Grinder's with us.
Morning.
Hello, Buller.
Morning, Gaz. Tim, how are you going?
Morning, Rod. Good to see you again.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, we bumped into each other down at
Yeah, you didn't know who you were. Idea who you were.
I've lost a bit of hair.
No, well, you had a cap on.
Yeah, I did have a cap on.
No, that's right. If you said this, hell of a nice bloke came up and said, g'day. I'm thinking, who is this man?
Well, I saw him eyeing me off there for a while, and I thought, hang on, he's going to come up and ask for an autograph very soon by a photo or something.
Hey, yeah, we're going to have chat all things Demons and your great relationship with this footy club, which has been there for a long time, and I'm really keen to tell the story so everyone can hear. You're an early morning person, though. You've always, since I've known you, been a very early morning person because you were a garbo for a while.
I was a garbo for a couple of years in Hawthorne. So up very early, worked for about three or four hours, and then sunbake for the rest of the day. That was my job.
On the top of the truck.
Yeah.
Sunbake.
Did you go into business together, you two, at some stage as well?
So I was best man at Rod's wedding. He was best man at mine. We've been great mates for a long time. And at one stage, I had a bit of time on my hands.
Right.
And Rod had a burgeoning...
Booming
lawn mowing business. Right. And I just used to go and mow some lawns. I was sort of the front man. I would do the selling.
What, the negotiating?
Oh, yeah.
We talked that much.
He was good at that.
Honestly.
He was good at that.
People would ask us for advice on their lawns and how come this plant's not growing, and just to think on our feet balls, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, you did. I didn't do much. I sat back and just laughed. there was a lady in Hawthorne that said the grass wouldn't grow under this massive big tree, and to sit back and watch the boy do his work, it was unbelievable.
What did he sell her?
I told her that she was watering it wrong. I said, get your hose and shoot it straight up in the air so that the drops fall directly down it, because it would look like you're washing the seed away. But anyway, that's good.
Did he get his hands dirty at any stage?
He pushed the lawnmower in.
I didn't last long.
I'm a great lawnmower.
I didn't last long, but maybe that was where it all grew. You've got a great story to tell, because after your Demons time, you went and coached, didn't you? You travelled everywhere.
Yeah, no, I went down to Tassie for 3 years and coached New Norfolk for 2.5 years. And as Tim's experienced, all coaches get sacked. And I got sacked in my third year.
Were you at East Boo? You didn't coach them. You played there.
No, I played under Richo. Yeah, Alan Richardson was the coach there. So my last 2 years of senior footy, fortunately, was able to play in premierships with Katandra, where I grew up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was in 88. So 98. So when I got the flick out of New Norfolk, Katandra contacted me, and I was a fly-in, fly-out.
A FIFO
from Tassie to Katandra.
Oh, really?
And played 14 games with them and won the flag. And then the following year, played with East Burwood and won the flag with them.
Yeah, and then you hung them up.
And then hung up. You called me. Neil Danaher wanted a runner.
Yep.
And you gave me a buzz and said, what are you doing? I said, well, I think my footy's finished. So I went and had a chat with Neil, and Neil's first comments to me were, you can get back involved in the AFL balls. Come and run for the D's.
And then how long did you do that for?
7 years. Yeah,
good. Grand final?
Grand final was my first year running, which was pretty good. The Bombers cleaned us up in 2000.
Wasn't a great day, was it? It wasn't a great day for Melbourne.
Was it?
No, it wasn't a great day for Melbourne.
No.
I can't. I mean, I don't find any mirth in the fact that Essendon may have beaten Melbourne in a grand final. Mm. They're tough days. I'm interested to talk about some of the messages that you may have been given by Neil Danaher to deliver to some of the players.
We'll do it after the break.
Because he's very direct, Neil Danaher was. very direct.
He was direct with all of us, big Neil. Don't worry. Rod Grinner's with us. He's going to share his stories around the Melbourne Footy Clubs. They head towards the big game tonight at the Adelaide Oval against the Crows.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
Has a great listener of ours. She says tonight is a danger game for your boys, Rod and Gary. I well remember Carlton were flying until they played Adelaide on the Thursday night of gather round. I think they took it way too early and they got smacked as a result. The two Adelaide teams had got a big advantage this weekend. So you got a little, I've got a little knot in my guts about tonight's game, Wolves, have you? Rod Grinter's with us, by the way.
Yeah, look, always nervous when I go to the footy and watch the D's. They're never easy, but look, the boys have been playing well. Great win last week against Port. We'll give them a lot of confidence, and obviously they stayed over there, so they've got all their families there. The Crows are struggling a little bit, so hopefully we can get off to a good start. And last time we played over there, got done by a kick, I think, against the Crows, so hopefully we can return the favour.
What year did you come to Melbourne?
1983.
Can you remember your first training session?
Not really. I remember walking in the bowels of the MCG. That was something that was pretty huge for a young kid from the bush.
Who was the coach?
Ray Jordan.
Oh.
And Brass. Brass was a senior coach.
Had you ever met anyone like Ray Jordan when you were on?
No, not at all. He was a bit of a... Well, for me, he was someone that sort of set me up to play league footy. He treated me pretty tough, like I never got away with anything.
Right.
But Barras had a soft spot for me and it gave me a chance in 84, playing in the second and just developed from there.
Why do you reckon Barassi had a soft spot for you?
I don't know, maybe...
Did he see something in you that maybe he had in himself?
Maybe because I ran in straight lines and knocked a few over, maybe.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Knocked a couple over along the way.
He's done well.
He's done well.
There, slugger.
It was a very different game back in those days.
It was
days,
a much different game. And
I know we laugh about that sort of
stuff.
We're
not laughing the fact. How many times did you get reported?
10.
And how many weeks all up?
31.
Yeah, we're not laughing at that.
No.
But you were up
that's
there.
That's a waste.
How many did they miss?
50.
Because not every game was televised back in those
no,
days.
No, they right? weren't.
Look at the fixture to see which games would be televised and which wouldn't?
No, I didn't. I just went out and played, and yeah. If people got my way, I knocked them over, and if that was outside the rules, well, I cop my whack.
And this is what we could talk about now, is that your relationship with the club now, the role that you played in the establishment of this past players group, everyone's got past
You call players. Him the glue to the Melbourne Football Club.
Oh, yeah, he's all that. And it's obvious to everyone who's involved. But you've got a past players group. I don't know how engaged. Well, you've got premierships, so you're different to us. You've got a great reason to get together all the time. In our era, we never won one, unfortunately. And there was never any great reason to get back together. And we had a players' association, and they did as good a job as they possibly could, Balls, didn't they? But and maybe the premiership between 21 was the impetus to get this WhatsApp. You tell the story, but it's growing, and now it's a massive part of all of our lives.
Yeah, I think leading into that 21 year, the WhatsApp group started through a number of reasons, and now we've got 200
past
players.
Was it COVID?
COVID. So we wanted COVID. That's right. We wanted to obviously keep in touch, and the club were coming into the finals, and Goody wanted some messages to go to the players. The current day players from the past players. So the best way to be able to do that was via WhatsApp. So went and reached out to all the past players that I had in my phone via WhatsApp, and there was quite a few in my phone. We had started off with about 100, and then we just keep adding to it, and we add to it now. Like, I don't have every past player's number, but you bump into them at the footy and get their number and join them up, and it's a great way to communicate. If there's things come across my phone or if something's happened, you can jump on it and you touch 200 people straight away.
So what happens, Tim, is he whispers that my phone will just ding and there'll be a new player added that Rod's either come in, someone's got in contact and say, and all of a sudden you look at, I remember, this might be someone that played two games, might be someone that played 200.
Yeah.
And then, someone wanted to be at the game tonight in Adelaide, so they reach out and say, anyone got a ticket or can I get in the rooms? Mm. And they help facilitate. It's a fantastic thing.
No, it's really good. And the engagement, I try and monitor it in terms of we don't want people speaking to each other on the WhatsApp, because you've got 200 sitting there, and as Gaz says, the phone goes bing, bing, bing.
Mm.
If it's something you want to communicate, and then you can go offline and have a convo with someone.
So is Gary captain, your captain, for how many years?
My first captain was Robbie Flower, sorry, then Greg wow. Healy, then Gaz, yeah. So, yeah, a few years.
And what do you remember about his captaincy?
The pre-game before we ran out in the race, in the race.
different times back then.
I understand that, but
different times.
There's a very famous, were you there the famous day?
With a door?
Yes.
No, I don't know. If I was, I can't remember it, but I heard the story. It's a classic.
No, Rod was my strategic punch.
I used
to say to him, make sure up the front, because I might have to give you a bit of a punch in the chest, you know, just as we're getting.
Sore ribs before I started.
Just as we're getting to the zenith of the speech, I might give you one, and Rod go, Yeah. Eyes would roll back in his head, and then we charge down the race. But on that day, the door was locked. I couldn't get out. Just heard Glenn Lovett laughing behind my back.
So he's the fire and brimstone captain, yeah.
100%, yeah. Look, if anything Gaz had heard or from the opposition or from anyone, really, he used that, and he would, his eyes would start rolling in his head before we went out.
It's a lot different. They laugh. We went. They come down the race now laughing and having a joke.
Oh, yeah, high-fiving each other, yeah.
Much better. I think it's a much more, it's a sensible way to go about it as well. So Rodney Grinner is with us. You can give him a call. Is there anything you regret in footy? I've never asked you this.
No. Because you can't. What's done's done. You can't undo it. So, there are things that I'm disappointed about, but regret, no.
And the coaching experience, what about that? Was that a good experience for you? I know it didn't end particularly well.
No,
but
it didn't.
Most don't. But what did you learn about yourself going and coaching
that?
Because it's a completely different thing that you're associated with once you start coaching.
It wasn't AFL level. It was statewide down in Tassie. So it was a reasonable competition, reasonably professional. We had paid players and we had fly-in players, a lot of players from Victoria that came there. And the thing that I got out of it was just at that level, you are everything. And a lot of coaches will say this, you're the psychologist, you're the doctor, you're the father, you're everything. And plus you've got to then play, because I was playing coach, so I wasn't a non-playing coach.
It tests you, doesn't it?
It does, and I thought I was going to be the next Ron Barassi, and I quickly worked out that wasn't going to be the case, and then realised I had to get a real job. And
what made you realise that you weren't going to be the next Ron Barassi?
We didn't have much success, and I just wasn't one of those guys that was, I love my footy, but it wasn't something that was ever going to. I could see there was going to be a career in it. It was something that I could do for a bit of fun, but I had to get a job and. I started a family late in my AFL career, so I needed to knuckle down and get a job to survive.
There's an obsessive nature that has to be associated with coaching, doesn't it? Like, it has to be maybe more than anything else in the world at that time for that particular person.
It
does.
Yeah.
It just has to.
Yeah, it does. And it's a 24/7 role, and even at that level it was full on. There's no break really from it, and you talk about the boys that are in AFL coaching now, and not even the senior coach but all the coaches, it's just so consuming, so you've got to be a maniac about it, otherwise you're not going to last, and if you're not going to last in that, you've got to have something else to fall back on.
Well, as we went to the break, we're talking about Nilo, because you were his first runner and ran for him for the first Neil Danaher, we're talking about first 7 years. So what was it like being on the end of Neil Danaher's, because I've been on the end of Neil Danaher's sprays and they're not much fun.
Rowdy's fantastic, obviously very passionate person, and loved his footy, and if things weren't going right, well, you knew about it, and it's a wonder that the players didn't hear it. I remember when I was obviously first playing under Slug didn't need a runner. He used to just scream out from the sidelines, well, Rowdy probably didn't need a runner either, the way that the messages were coming down the phone, but they were hard to understand, and we eventually ended up getting Chris Fagan to relay the messages down to us on the bench, because Neil would be just going nuts on the phone. You couldn't understand what he was saying.
Mm. You ever threatened to walk away at any stage because of the messages that may have been delivered?
That's a great story. Tell that one.
Yeah, look, we were up in Cairns, and the boys up there, when you come off the ground, they go into like an ice box to cool down. And Neil wanted the players up on the interchange bench on the ground, ready to come on. And he was wanting to make some changes, and the players weren't up on the on the line. So he's screaming down on the phone, and I couldn't understand what he was saying. And Chris Fagan's standing next to me, and I'm trying to understand what he's saying. And then he starts blaming me that they're not up on the line.
You've got to blame somebody.
So I ended up turning around to Fagan and said, "Here, you can do this. I'm done.
Quit halfway through. Yeah, and that led to a change in the communication process.
That's when the change came, and Fagues said, "Just calm down, it'll be okay. And then from then on, Fagues went up in the box, and you could hear Neil's message coming, so you got it twice. You could hear Neil's message coming, and then Fagues would calmly tell us what we needed to do.
I wonder which year he's deaf in, Fagues, because he spent a lot of his life actually being roared into in one of those years, hasn't he?
Here's a message. This is how wide our listening audience is, Balls. "Hi, guys. Tony here. Please ask Rod how he enjoyed the days of working with the Hawthorn Hygiene Squad, then rushing back to Arthur's house to watch Cop Shop." The good old days.
Well, I did say that I was sunbaking, but hygiene technician, I used to call myself. And, yeah, it was only a three-hour. Like, I think we started at 5:30, 6 o'clock, and we were done by 9:30, and that was a full day's work. So it was it fitted in well. I was running around the streets of Hawthorn. Yeah, I was doing probably 10K, just jogging along. And when it was cold, it was no good during the middle of winter because it was freezing cold, and I couldn't pick up anything. So I ended up persuading the driver, even though I didn't have a truck license, "Can I drive the truck?" And turned the heater on and sat in the truck and drove the truck.
He's a master.
Smart.
He's always going to be a coach. Rod Grinner's in the studio.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
Welcome back. We've got Rod Grinter from the Melbourne Hard Man in the studio. Just quickly, can you tell us about your 21st at Catandra?
Yeah, I can. quickly.
No, you can't.
We lost Gary. Gary obviously came. We lost him.
Did you find him at any stage during the night?
Somebody said he was out in the ground.
Very nice of you to come in, Rod. Nice of you to come in this morning.